Okay, thank you, Zach. You are all I need, Lord. Amen. I'm turning this on, Brian. I'm turning the earpiece on. And I'm so glad you're here today in the house of God. God is pleased that you're here. This is exactly where God wants you. Amen. He has called us to gather together in his name, to worship him in his name, to praise him. Is it hard to praise the Lord? I knew people were going to say no, but it must be, because it's hard to get people to actually do it. So it must be hard. Is it hard to pray? I think it must be, because it's hard to get people to do it. It's hard to get time to do it. It's hard to do that. So I want you to realize you're here today because God has you here. The Creator himself, the Lord himself, Jesus Christ, brought you here today to hear from him. I don't want you to hear from me. I don't want you to see me. I want you to just hear the Lord today speak to your heart and your soul. Turn your Bibles, please, to John chapter 4. John 4, and when, if you get a chance, turn to, don't turn there, but just put your finger in Romans 8 and then Ephesians 4. Those three verses will help you to turn when we get there. But in John chapter 4, let me know when you're there. Good, I still hear pages. No man left behind, amen. We are going to read in John chapter 4 from verse 20 to 26 some of the greatest dialogue between the Lord Jesus Christ and a person in all of Scripture. How many people are there? Say amen if you're there. Starting in verse 20, it says, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." And Jesus said unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, and when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." If I may stop and interject for a moment, you worship you know not what. That could be the title of the message. It's not. It could be a message on itself. It's not today. But I just want you to think about that. You worship you know not what. Do you know what the object of your worship is? That's what she says. That's what people say, right? They all know the words to say. But if you knew King Jesus, I think if you actually knew him, you would worship him maybe a little differently. We use words like prayer, praise, worship, service. And we have these words, but do we even actually really understand or comprehend what they mean, and do you actually do them? And that's what he's saying to this woman. He says, you don't, first of all, you don't even know what you're worshiping. He says, "For salvation is of the Jews," verse 23, "but the hour cometh, and now is." The hour cometh, and now, here in New Liberty Baptist Church this morning, on October 20th, is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is seeking the omnipotent, holy, powerful God. Needs nothing, but yet he seeks something. He's seeking something, and he's seeking true worshipers. He's seeking them. He's looking for them right now in this house, in his house. People say in football games, "Not my house." I say, "In my house, not my house. There'll be no cursing in my house. There'll be the only yelling and screaming is going to be me. I'll be the only one doing that. There's not going to be any evil in my house. There's not going to be any R-rated movies in my house. There's not going to be any secular music in my house. It's my house." So therefore, if it's God's house, God says, "In my house. My house shall be called a house of prayer. My house shall be called a house of praise. My house, when you enter in, you better enter into my gates with thanksgiving, buddy. You better come in with praise and worship and honor on your lips." You know what he says? He says this. He said, "The hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. And he tells us something so amazing, I love it. He says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Must worship him. And then the woman says unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. She knows Christ is coming. When he is come, he will, what's that, church? Tell us all things. When he's come, he'll tell us everything. When he comes, he'll tell us all things. Well, I'm here to tell you today, he's telling you right now. He's telling you something right now. God is a spirit. And those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Because God's seeking, he's looking for someone to worship him in spirit and in truth, because God is a spirit. We have to stop and let that sink in. God is a spirit. He's not a place. He says, she said, in Jerusalem you'll worship. You saying that over here, it's not where you worship. It's not when you worship. It's how you worship. And it's that you do worship. Many of Christians today, and I am here with this message from God to help us today, to truly help you and I today, because many people don't even worship the Lord. Many people don't even worship. Did you see when he got up? Everybody's watching him. He's picking his feet. Better off him sitting down. I don't want people to get distracted in the Word of God. In the singing, he could have got up 27 times. During the offering, he could have got up 12 times. But during the preaching, I don't want anyone getting up. You can't hold it. Pee yourself. I know it sounds strong, and I'm being that way to like, whoa. I don't want you to pee yourself, okay? That's just foolish. My point is, why do you have to wait till the preaching? The preaching is the most important thing in the law. If Jesus got up to speak and people walked out, a little rude. I'm certainly not Jesus, nor calling myself anyone close. My point is, when the word of God is spoken, we need to pay attention. And him belonging to me, take him out at another time. He's people. Everybody, I'm up here looking, everybody's face looking at him. So that's what I'm saying. You have to learn. When Jesus said that in that place, or this place, no one's going to worship me. You know why? He said, because God's looking for people that's going to worship him in a new place. In this place. In your spirit. And in the truth. She says this. She said, when he comes, he'll tell us all things. And Jesus in verse 26 says, I that speak unto you am he. So Jesus is here speaking unto you. Christ will tell us all things. I'm here to tell you, he just did. He just told you that you must be a worshiper. He just told you that you must worship God in spirit and truth. He just told you that God is a spirit. He just told you that God is seeking. He's looking for people to worship him. He just told you a lot in that little bit. True worshipers. That means there's phony and fake ones. Don't be a phony. Don't be a fake in anything you do. In anything. Be real. We must worship God in spirit because he is a spirit. In truth, because he is the truth. It's not where you worship God. It's not when you worship God. It's that you do worship him. That you do worship him. In spirit and truth. It's not when you come on a Sunday or a Wednesday. Do you worship him in spirit and truth any day? I'm here to help the church today. I'm not here to condemn. I'm not here to convict. I'm just here to tell you, he'll tell us. He did tell us. And he's saying that God wants you to worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. He's seeking. So it's not where, it's not when, it's that you do. And the answer, my question is still the same. Do you? Do you? And I want you to. After this message, at least you'll have a little bit more to do it. True worship is a state of mind. It's a state of mind in which we worship him, not the place when which we worship. Our minds must be, please listen to that word, must be fixed on him. You cannot have true worship and your mind be on something else. You can't have true worship and you're thinking about your bills. You can't have true worship and you're thinking about your job. You can't have true worship, God, and you're thinking about anything else, because he won't take second place anything. True worship has got to be on your mind. True worship. Turn to Isaiah 26. I snuck that one in there. Isaiah 26. Say amen when you're there. True worship is a state of mind in which we worship Him. Our minds must be fixed on Him. Because God is a spirit, we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Therefore, our minds have got to be totally on Him. Our spirit has got to be totally on Him. And it's got to be true because He knows. That doesn't happen on its own. You got to make it happen. Look in Isaiah 26, look in verse 3. It says, Thou, that's God, will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee. Because he trusts in Thee. God will keep you in perfect peace whose mind stayed on Thee. True worship is a state of mind. True worship is a state of mind. It's what you think about Him. It's what you think. It's what you think. It's what you think. Do you understand that? It's not the only thing it is, but it's something you got to understand. Your mind has got to be stayed on Him. Our minds must be on Him. Worship in spirit must be done by the Spirit. The Spirit of God. We must yield our spirits to His Spirit. This takes some doing. This doesn't just happen. It doesn't happen overnight. We must make it happen. How? By asking. By asking. Nothing gets done outside of the Holy Spirit of God. Nothing really gets done. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. I don't care what man, woman, child of God, without Jesus Christ, you can do nothing. Without Jesus Christ, I can do nothing. Without the Spirit of God helping me right now, speaking through me, I can't help you. And all I want to do is help you. I want you and every single one that listens to this to be a true worshiper. Because that's what God wants. And that's not going to happen overnight. It's going to happen by purpose. And you're going to have to ask. Asking is prayer. You ready? Prayer. The number one thing. Prayer is the key to true worship and true in truth and spirit. Prayer is where it all starts. It is the key. God is a spirit, so we must learn to walk in the spirit. We must learn to pray in the spirit. We must learn to praise in the spirit. We must learn to worship Him in the Spirit. That song, then sings not my mouth, not my hands, then sings my soul. How great Thou art! It can't be of the Spirit. It can't be in the Spirit. It can't be truth unless it is. And that doesn't happen until you start to make it happen in prayer. Prayer is the number one first ingredient needed. And I'm going to give you three little ingredients needed to help you to be, to make you to be. All I can say is help you. I can't make you. But help you to be a true worshiper. It all starts with prayer, and we don't even know how to do that. We don't. Some people do. It took a long time to learn, didn't it? Did you just all of a sudden get saved and know how to pray? I mean, young Christians don't know how to pray. They don't know what to say. They don't know what to do. As I try to tell them, this is what you do. This is how you start it. Jesus gave us a little bit of examples. He wants us to pray. God wants us to pray. But the Bible tells us only by the fervent prayer. It's got to be real prayer. And that doesn't happen here in church. It happens back home in your prayer closet. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. We don't even know how to pray. How are we going to truly worship if we don't know how to pray? Romans chapter 8, look in verse 26 with me. Verse 26 says this, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. That means our weaknesses. That means the things we're not getting right. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with the groanings which cannot be uttered. Look what it says. And he that searches the hearts knows what is in the what? The mind of the Spirit. Because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That means you cannot be a true worshiper. You can't worship in spirit and truth until you spend time in prayer talking to God. Real talking. Real prayer. Preacher can't do it for you. Your mommy and daddy can't hold your hands for you. This is where the rubber meets the road. It must be and only can be by prayer. You and him in the closet somewhere praying. Because the Bible tells us we don't even know what to pray for. We don't even know how to pray. And so what do? You ask for the Holy Spirit to help you to pray. You get alone and you say, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to pray. How am I going to talk to you? My mind is all messed up. I'm thinking about my bills. I'm thinking about the sickness. So-and-so has cancer. My marriage is on the rocks. I don't know where I'm going to live tomorrow. Lord, how am I going to keep my mind on you? I don't know how to do this. Lord, I need your Holy Spirit. Help me to pray, Lord. God, where are you? Are you listening? You see, that's communication. Start to speak what's in your heart because the Spirit knows what's in your heart. And what happens is we come in prayer and we got all this in our hearts. But yet our mouth says, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh God, help my family. Be with my children. Right? Be with the church. Help the pastor out. He's got a big mouth. Calm him down. Whatever you say. I don't know. It's not working. Whatever you ask. Lord, I really could use some money. My bills are due. I don't know what I'm going to do. Lord, I got this ache in my hip. Could you please take care of that? My tooth hurts. You know, Brother Cliff, and my dad, they need good hearing aids. We can't afford it. Whatever. You pray, right? Come on. But the Spirit's saying, that's not what's in your heart. The Spirit is saying, that's not what's really on your mind. That's not what's really in your heart. How are you going to be a true worshiper if you can't even be a true prayer? We need to pray. Get alone. Jesus said, get in the prayer closet. And pray that your Father will hear you and he will openly let you know that he heard you. Real prayer is the key to real worship. You cannot be a real worshiper unless you're a real prayer. Prayer, whatever. I can't express it enough that when you're in prayer, it's a connection to God. Prayer is our connection to him. And God is a spirit, right? Those that worship him must worship in spirit. So how are you going to pray? You got to pray and get a hold of the Spirit. It's our connection to God, who is a spirit. So our prayers must be true. Our prayers must be honest. Our prayers must be sincere. Our prayers must come from our heart. They must. Or they're phony. They're not real. They're not true. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. We must be honest with him about everything. How do you become a true worshiper? How do you become a real worshiper in spirit and in truth? By praying in spirit and truth. Truth in the inward part. Getting alone with God and letting the Holy Spirit of truth speak to you about everything. And then you communicate it to your Father. Everything. You know what that means? Our sins. All of them. Our lusts. We all have them. Our failures. We all got them. Our fears. How many people have some fears today? Cast them to God. Tell him about it. Talk to him. Tell him every detail of your innermost being. Everything. Let it all out. How about our doubts? Do you ever doubt God? Yeah. Tell them. I try to tell people this, that if you ever run across somebody who doesn't believe in God, and when I tell them, say, well, tell them. Tell them you don't believe them. Get alone in your bedroom somewhere and say, I don't believe in you. I don't believe you're real. I don't believe you exist. I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe in religion. I don't believe in the Bible. I don't believe in none of it. You know what he's doing? He's praying. And God will get a hold of that prayer because he's telling the truth. We don't tell the truth in our own hearts to God in prayer. You know it, I know it, he knows it. And that's why we don't truly worship, because it all starts in truly praying. Our doubts, every dark thing, every thought, and every action. You know why? Because the Word of God says this. It says it is, as I'm preaching, and what I'm praying for is that the Word of God would be like a two-edged sword, piercing and dividing asunder soul and spirit and joint and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of your heart. God knows your thoughts afar off. He knows what you're thinking. He knows your dark, evil thoughts. He knows them all. He doesn't think less of you. He loves you just the same. But you've got to cast all your cares upon him. You've got to tell him about your thoughts. Tell him about your fears. Tell him about every dark thing. This truth only comes from in your inward parts. And what it'll do, when you let it out to him, it'll make you free. It'll free up something inside of you that you haven't felt, maybe never or in years. It'll free up a burden lifted. You'll be freer, happier, higher, excited, more power than you've ever had in your life when you come out of the prayer closet knowing I have nothing between me and him. I told him everything. And he loves me and he's filled me because the Spirit of the living God is the Spirit of truth, and he's trying to get the truth into our hearts that we're not real. We're phonies. And he loves us. He's trying his hardest. But if you will not get alone with him, no one else can hear. You need a prayer place. You need a place where you can cry out and no one else hears you. I have a place in my house that I pray, but I got a lot of people now and a lot of traffic in my house. And so it bothers me when I come down to pray and there's kids sitting on my place where I pray. It's not their fault. But I'm like, move. That's where I pray. And people know it. They all leave the room when I pray. But it's personal to me. It's a place where I meet God every day. It's a place where I go to cry and talk to him. And so many Christians don't even have a place. I pray when I'm driving. You're not praying. I pray when I'm working. You're not praying. You're keeping your mind on him, but that's not prayer. We need a place of prayer. We need a place to go and cry out to the Lord. Because if you don't cry out, you're keeping it in. And you're not being honest with the Holy Spirit. And you cannot worship in spirit and truth because God knows you're a liar. And you're a phony. And you're a hypocrite. I'm here to help today. We need the Holy Spirit. Amen? The truth in our inward parts will not only free us, but it will also cleanse us. It'll wash us and it will empower us. So your prayer will be the effectual, fervent prayer because you have it all out. It's such a wonderful, beautiful feeling to have nothing held back, to have it all out there. You know, like I said, the first thing you need is prayer. The second thing is you need a prayer closet, a place of prayer, a place where you feel comfortable, a place where you can cry out to let it out, a place where you can talk to God, who is a spirit. Our prayer closet leads to our praise closet. Our prayer closet leads to our praise closet. And our praise closet leads to our worship closet. Because if you ain't worshiping in there, and you're not praising in there, and you're not praying in there, you certainly aren't going to be praising and praying in here. God doesn't want hypocrites. He wants real people. God's looking for people that'll be true and real. Guess what? We're all failures. Guess what? We've all sinned. Guess what? We all do wrong. We all have bad thoughts. We all have lusts of our flesh, lusts of our eyes, pride of life. All of us. Why would you be embarrassed of being a human being? God knows everything in your mind and your thought, but you don't want to talk to him about it. You'll never be a true worshiper. You'll never have that closeness with the Lord. We need to do this. You ready? We need to commit. We need to commit. Proverbs 16:3. Says this, you don't have to turn there for time's sake. You can write it down, look at it later, but it says this, commit thy works unto the Lord, and he shall establish your thoughts. Commit your works unto God, and he will establish your thoughts. How many people have a trouble with your thoughts? Amen, come on. How many people have trouble just keeping your thoughts on God? How many people you have thoughts just keeping your thoughts on Him? Well, the Bible says, God says, commit your works unto God and He'll establish your thoughts. Commit your works. Let me just help you a little bit today. Commit to pray. If you can't commit to God to pray, you're a phony. You're a hypocrite. I'm just letting you know. If it's too hard to pray to your God, you're a phony. You're a hypocrite. If it's too hard to praise Him, you're a phony. If it's too hard to worship Him, you're a hypocrite. You cannot say one thing and do another. You cannot say, how I love Jesus. Oh, how, and the Holy Spirit's inside you go, really? You haven't even talked to me. Really? You haven't even confessed your sins. Really? Really, you don't praise me. I see you. You get more angry at your job than you do happy with me. I'm being real. That's where God's at. God's in truth. He's in reality. And you'll never get to where you're supposed to be until you're real. You're a failure. So am I. It's not fun. But tell God. Because if you don't, you're going to hold them feelings inside. And they're going to fester and they're going to bitter. And then you won't be able to praise for real. Because you're going to be too sad. You're going to be too despairing. You have too much guilt and shame. When God says, just tell me about it. Let's talk about it. Get it out in prayer. Cast it all on Him. Prayer in a prayer closet is a great thing, but you got to commit. You got to commit. Commit thy works on the Lord and He shall establish your thoughts. Commit to God. Your God. Not my God. Your God. Think. Think how He committed to you. Just let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let these thoughts be in you. Think about how He committed to you. He committed to whips. He committed to you. He's still committed to you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He is God Almighty, and He cares about you. And He wants you to praise, worship, pray, commit. When are you going to be committed to God? If you can't commit to a working for God, let's just be real. Can I just be real? If somebody can't commit to working for God, say an hour a week, 2 hours, I don't care what it is. If you can't commit, then you really don't trust Him. You really don't love Him. Really don't. And that makes you a hypocrite. And that's a scary place to be. God doesn't want you to stay there. He wants you to know the truth. And the truth will make you free. If you can't commit for Him, it's because you don't trust Him, you don't love Him. And that makes us a hypocrite. You know what that makes us? Religious. Religious acts equal self-righteousness. Self-righteousness grows from pride, which no real fruit is grown, and pride will hide God's face from you. I cannot help but think of certain people that I know, have known, respect, and love. They are faithful to every church service. And there no one's in this church. They're faithful to every church service. They are dressed right, look right, sound right. They give the tithes above and beyond. You would look on the outward and say, that's a perfect Christian. They have told me they have never been filled with the Holy Spirit. They are self-righteous. They think they're better because they don't do the things that you do. Because they're better because they go to every church service. They're better because they put more money in. They're better because of this. They're better because of that. And when you think you're better because, that's self-righteous. And that stems from pride. And the scariest place to be is a Christian in a church every Sunday and not heeding to the Holy Spirit that's trying to tell you that you're prideful and you won't even submit yourself to the Holy Ghost and you won't even get born again. My friend Daniel, I love him. Love his heart. He got saved last year after being in church his whole life. You know what he told me the other day? Daniel, if I'm saying something wrong, please forgive me. I just know that you want to help people. And I want to help people. You know what he told me? He said, it was hard to know the truth. It was hard to hear the Holy Spirit convict you. You're lost. You're not truly born again. It was so hard, so scary that most people run away from that instead of coming to the altar with that. My wife for 5 years was in church after saying a prayer, after being baptized, and faithful to every service, out soul winning, doing everything we can for the church, second row, every service. And at night she would say, honey, I don't think I'm saved. And I told, and what I would tell her? I would tell her what the pastor told me. No, that's the devil. You're saved. You're saved. Right, hon? Because that's what I was told. Don't ever doubt. That's what I was told. That's a lie. That's scary fires of hell near. Don't ever doubt. You better know. You don't want to, if you have a doubt, you need to get that out. You need to let that doubt be known to God and say, God, I'm scared. I might not be saved. But if you're so prideful, you'll sit there like a rock. And you'll sit like a rock in hell. Pride is the thing that messes everybody up. But let me just move on. No real fruit is grown from pride. Pride will literally hide God from you. God says that he resists. He pushes away the pride, the prideful. That means when you're trying to pray, he says, I will not hear that. When you're trying to praise, he said, nope. When you're trying to worship, no. God literally pushes you away when you have pride. Let me just say this next one. You ready? Praise. When you're in your prayer closet and you're praying and you get everything out, I guarantee you can't help it, but it'll flow. Once the prayer is gone and you have communication with God in the Spirit and in truth, all of a sudden you're going to start to praise him. You're going to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. You're so good. You're so kind. You're so merciful. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. That's praise. Lips of praise, telling God just how you feel in your heart. Just lifting up his in praise. Praise really helps us. Please listen to me. Praise helps us. I know it's like childish, but say it out loud. Say, praise helps us. Ready? Praise. It does. That's why we have songs to help you. To help you. Don't sing a song just because that's what we do. Songs of praise and worship, they are helping you. Praise helps us be real. It helps our spirit to be joined in his spirit. The Bible says, and I have too much verses to even write, that praise is acceptable to God. Praise is comely to God. That means it looks good to him. He likes it. You want to be a true worshiper, you got to be a true prayer. And after your true prayer, then you'll start to be a true praiser. How great thou art. How great thou art. Oh, Lord, when I see the stars, I see the universe that you created around me. Oh, Lord, my soul just says how great thou art. When I see the mountains and the glory and the fountains, and I see the deer and the pheasants that I'm going to go hunt next week, I say how great thou art. When I see the oceans and hear the sounds of the birds, I say how great thou art. When I feel the gentle breeze, and I know the love of my children and my wife and my dogs. See, that's true worship there. They worship me for real. I know it sounds funny, but it's true. I know they're not phonies. It's a great thing. That's why I don't like cats. They're all phonies. They're phonies. They'll act like they love you. Stop feeding them and they'll be doing the same thing than a neighbor. It's true. Truth. It's true. No, you need to repent. You need to get right with God. No. Yeah, no. You got to get right with God. Man, there's pride over there. Pride. Pride over there. Pride over there. Quiet, please. Quiet. Quiet. I'm not talking. So what? Listen to me, please. Praise helps heal us. Praise helps get God's attention. Praise brings God into your realm, into your world, into your heart. God is seeking true worshipers, and we must worship him in spirit and truth. Prayer is the beginning. We must commit to real prayer in our lives. We must commit to real praise, because praise is comely unto God. It's pleasant to him. Singing praise truly helps us. Praying and praising helps us to be in the spirit. But we need truth with that. Truth in our inward part, the Bible says. Psalm 51:6, David said, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. You desire truth in my heart. That's what prayer does. It gets to the real truth inside of you. But we must know the truth. And the truth will make you free. We must know the truth about ourselves. I'm going to finish on this last point. This is probably what it's, everything's coming up to. How? How can I be a real prayer? How can I be a real praiser? How can I be a true worshiper? By show of hands, and I'm being honest before God, how, do you want to be a true worshiper? Amen. Good. Well, this is how. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I told you to turn to Ephesians as well, but don't worry about that. I'll just read it to you. In Ephesians 4:23, as you're turning there, 2 Corinthians, this is one of the most important things everybody needs to do. And I'm going to tell you exactly what it is. And nobody ever told me. I found out by actually doing it. That's how I found out. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, I want you to, before I read the verse, I want you to, let me just read Ephesians chapter 4, what I told you, what I was telling you about, 4 verse 23. It says this. It says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." How do you get renewed to have your mind stayed on God? Prayer. How do you get renewed to keep your mind on God? Praise. Because your praise is what's on your mind, how you really think about God. That comes out in truth. Now, the last verse I want you to read is 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Are you there? Jesus is speaking again. He said, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate." Reprobate means cast off, spit out, left behind, cast away from God. Verse 6 says, "But I trust that you shall know that we are not reprobates." God wants you to know some things. And the only way he can do it is by self-examination. I'm going to leave you with this last point. Examine yourself. The greatest thing that ever, one of the greatest things, not the great, one of the my Christian walks that elevated me, helped me big time, was, I told this before, but it's relevant. I had a dream, a vision while I was sleeping. So I called a dream, but it was a vision. You ever had those dreams that you never forget? They're like, I don't know if you ever had. I mean, every dream you just forget. Like, what dream? Ah, I can't remember. It was really good though, but I can't remember. But then you have a vision and you never can forget it. I had a vision, and it was all of a sudden I was just standing, and Jesus was across the street, say, like a street length, and he was carrying the cross, and he was bloodied, and his hair was dripped down in his face, and he was blood all over his coat, and I just looked, and I'm surprised to be there. All of a sudden, like the camera lens of a movie, all of a sudden my scope went like this all the way and zoomed into his eye, just his eye. That's all I could see was his eye, and the eye was looking at me, and this is what I heard, not from him, but from in the spirit of my mind, is, "It's your fault." And then I woke up. I couldn't stop thinking about it. I mean, I was truly upset. And I was feeling bad. So I went down and I flipped open my Bible. Thank you, Jesus, for the Bible, right? Yeah, but it opened up at Matthew 7, 21 to 23. And I just wrote down, it says, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven." He says, not everyone. He said, people are going to say, "Lord, Lord, haven't I prophesied in your name? Haven't I cast out devils in your name? Haven't I done many wonderful works in your name?" He says, "Then I will profess to them, I never knew you." What? I never knew you. I didn't know you in prayer. I didn't know you in praise. And I certainly didn't know you in worship. Depart from me. Now I wasn't comforted. I was scared to death. And for that whole week, driving around in my truck, that's all I thought of. My mind was stayed on him. My mind was on him about that dream, about those verses, about everything. Am I really? Do I really? Am I really? Am I real? Am I real? Am I real? And then I came home and the house was empty. And I saw in the Bible where it says about seek the truth. And I fell down on my knees. And all of a sudden, God spoke to me in my mind and said, Michael, do you remember that vision? I said, yes, Lord, I can. That's all I'm thinking about. I'm scared. He said, how did you feel when you saw it? And he took me back to that moment. And in truth, I said, I wanted to take the cross from you. And a voice in my spirit said, that's because you love me. And all of a sudden, just waves of freedom, just the fears and the anxieties were gone. And I knew I do love him. I do love him. I do love him. And you cut me open sideways to forever. And what you're going to find is Jesus Christ in my heart. I love him and I'm not ashamed. I love him and I am not embarrassed. He's my God and my King, and I shall worship him here and I'm going to worship him there. I'll praise him here and I'll praise him there. There won't be much difference when I get up there, because I'm praising him with all I got here. He's searching. This only happens by true self-examining our hearts, our intents, how we feel. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, the Bible says. I pray that the Spirit of truth will reveal the truth in my heart every day. I don't want to be a reprobate. I don't want to be rejected. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to be lukewarm. What you do with the truth that's revealed to you is up to you. God will not make you do anything other than bring you to the truth. What you do with that truth is on you. How good, how great, how kind, how merciful is my God. He loves me when I'm a failure. He loves me when I'm wrong. He loves me when I don't love him back. He loves me. And I've learned what my God is like. And I've learned the freedom and the liberty that is in Christ Jesus to be me. Free to be who I am. He doesn't want you to be me. He doesn't want you to be your neighbor. He wants you to be you. He wants you to be you. And don't tell me you have no feelings or emotions. That's not true. I want to say this before I finish. I'm going to ask Sister Kayla to come up. If the truth that God reveals to you in your heart is, I love him. I truly love him. How good he is, how kind he is, how merciful he is, how powerful he is, and how grateful are you to him? Please listen to these last few words. How grateful are you really to him? You know what worship is? Worship is showing the outward worth of someone or something of what they're worth to you inside. What Jesus Christ did on the cross, what God is to you in here, that is shown by your worship out here. You look it up in the Bible, every single person that worshiped, they fell on their face before God. They cried out for God. They worshiped in spirit and in truth. David, great David, God said, a man after my own heart. David wrote the Psalms. Read the Psalms and you'll read about praise. You'll read about true worship, because that what was in his heart. So when the truth comes to you, do you really say in your grateful heart that for your salvation, how great thou art? Do you really say it? We sang the song. Do you really mean it? How great thou art. Do you really feel it in your soul and your spirit? How great thou art. Do you ever experience an overflow of gratefulness to God for saving your mortal soul? Your wicked heart belongs in hell for all eternity. And he came down and he snatched your soul out of the grips of the devil. And he said, this is my soul. I gave my life for it. And I love it, and I'm going to seal it, and it's mine. Are you grateful in your soul? That's what true worship is. True worship is you showing outwardly how grateful you are and how worth the worth of Jesus Christ inside of you. That's why I like sinners. Sinners are grateful. Sinners are thankful. Sinners are, thank you, Jesus. Self-righteous are, Amen. I'm here to say this and finish right now. A real man, after God's own heart, David was a true worshiper, and you need to read Psalms. He said this, he said, "Thou hast proved my heart. Thou hast tried me, and you found nothing." Nothing wrong. Don't be afraid for God to try you. Because until you know that you love him, you can't really praise him. Till you know that everything is good inside your soul with him, you'll never really worship him. David also said, "Examine me, O Lord, prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." With every heart head bowed, every eyes closed, please stand to your feet as the music plays. Can that be the words of your heart today? Can you come to this altar and say, "God, try me, search me, O Lord. See if I be real, lest I be a hypocrite." It all starts in prayer. This altar is here for you to help you to pray, get your hearts real and right with God. God gets no pleasure. He gets no pleasure in fake and false worship. "Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me, O Lord. Know my thoughts. Examine me, O Lord. Prove me. Try my reins and my heart," David said. Can you say those words today? Say, "Lord, search me. Try my heart, O Lord. See if there be any evil way. O God, give me of the Holy Ghost today. Right now, I pray for the Holy Spirit." Can you say those things? Can you say, "Father, give me of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Speak to me. Show me what you want me to see. Say what you want me to hear. Oh Lord, you seek true worshipers. Help me to be one. It starts, I commit to you." Can you commit to God right now? Before the Lord and the Holy Ghost, can you commit to God in prayer? Say, "I commit to pray." That's all. Can you commit to prayer? Real prayer, alone with God. I want to see hands raised as you can commit today. For real prayer, raise your hands. All right, God sees it. I'm not asking you to do anything out of the normal. You can put your hands down. Commit real prayer to God. And the rest will start to move into place. You need a place of prayer. And then that after that real prayer, then you're going to have real praise. And real praise leads to real worship. Father, hear the prayer of your people. Wash over us. Forgive us through thy holy blood. All of our sins and all of our sicknesses and diseases heal. Help our minds to be stayed on you. Help us to do that which the one thing you said to do is to love. To love you with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our minds, and all of our strength. Help us, Lord, to see when we're being phonies. Take out pride and arrogancy in the evil way in my heart. Help me to humble myself before you and ask for the Holy Spirit to teach me to pray, to help me to pray. Help me to praise and help me to be a true worshiper. Lord, we love you tonight. Today we love you, we worshiped you. We sang songs, we prayed, we gave our offerings and tithes. You see it all, Lord. You see what we don't believe and what we do believe. You see everything in our heart. We're asking now, Holy Spirit, speak to us now. Have us do thy will, O Lord. And we worship you. We praise you. For you loved us with such a great love that you gave us your only begotten Son. He was whipped and beaten, spit on and punched. He was tortured and tormented. And he was nailed and crucified to that cross. And his first words were, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I pray that we can know what we do. And I pray that we can just trust you and praise you and worship you. Help each and every one here and all those that hear this little message to be true worshipers. And we'll thank you for it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all God's people said, amen.